Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, Emote from Africa, home set, the beautiful African. Today, good evening, Nivela, Savela, Moreni, Eshe, Otep, Sava, Assalamu Alaikum. In Africa, we did not have the program last week Sunday due to a technical glitch that luckily we're able to solve. In Africa, we did mention, pay tribute to Africa Dr. Nana Sashibe on her transition into ancestors on June 19th, her farewell service and repast was held on this Friday, July 17th, at Rankin Chapel, Howard University in Washington, D.C. My Africa Dr. Nana Sashibe, a Mo Africa wife, mother, sister, friend, historian, linguist, activist, and teacher, and of course a Pan-Africanist into the family and community of Alexander on March 15, 1941, went to attend the Orlando West High School in Africa because of the pressures of apartheid, and during that period of the early 60s, that is the period of African Revolution, Pan-African Revolution. In Africa, Nana Sashibe went into exile in 1963, got to Tanzania in 1964, and successfully completed secondary school at Kurasini International School. By the fall of 1966, she was in Oxford, Ohio, United States, where she earned a bachelor's degree from Western College for Women. In Africa, Nana completed her doctorate certification at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst in 1975. So in Africa, we celebrate the life and contributions of my Africa, Dr. Nana Sashibe. And it was our blessing, my Africa, to have her attend. In fact, she attended the PEC meeting on Saturday, 21st March in New York, that we held at the Clark House. The meeting was held in the morning, and in the afternoon, we commemorated Subdue Day, 21st March, 1960. This is the day when the apartheid regime massacred 59 Africans who defied the past law of Africa. They marched to the police stations to surrender for arrest for not carrying their passports. So in Africa, we have a human saying, customary saying, that you are human by or through other human beings. Umuntu kabantu, motu kabatu, umuntu kabatu. And Mafrika, the passage and repass for Mafrika Dr. Nana Sashibe was organized by the African community in Washington, D.C. In Africa, that was the benefit and work, the work and benefit of good community relations. And the roots of Africa are not built in Washington over the period of her stay. Africa, we say that according to the principles of being human by or through other human beings, the Africanist program of Africa is establishing in Tanzania, South Africa, and the continent of Africa, a socialist economy that is socialist in content and Africanist in form. And we say again, Mafrika, the principle, the economy principle itself is structured or anchored in the tradition and customs of being human through other human beings. Unlike the cutthroat, almost foreign tendencies and cultures that we see emerging in South Africa, South Africa, Zania, and the continent of Africa. Now, for example, Africa, during the customary times or the historic times, we had, when we are self-sufficient, living by ourselves, the African communities have a socialist banking system. And Africa, the system was called, in our language, Homo Yamafisa, in one of the traditional languages, Homo Yamafisa. And that is what we may call a credit cow or cow for credit, a cow credit. The principle here is that family or neighbors would loan another family or neighbor a cow and later offer a bull so the cow can produce calf, a cow for calves. Calves are produced, the cow is returned to the lender. And by that time, the calves or the cattle will be producing milk, will give birth to more cattle, calves, and the family survives. And then you have the multiplying effect. Today in Africa, we have monopoly banks, foreign owned, built on apartheid, blood money, and exploitation. And like, for example, in Africa, the South African Reserve Bank is also foreign owned. So we see that African communities in Africa and globally have few indigenous banks. And we are saying that the continent needs to establish its own monetary system, establish one Africa united single currency, because this multiplicity of currencies cause more division. In fact, they undermine the economic independence and growth of Africa and promote their vehicle, instruments for exploitation manipulated by other foreign forces. They are hedged against other foreign currencies, and there is no control. Now, you have a country where one African country, it uses the yen, it uses the dollar, it uses the rand, it uses a multiplicity of currencies, and that is non-functional. Why can't the African countries come up with one foreign, one currency? As you say that, Africa, the current economic state of Africa, in Africa and globally, is in a crisis. Like, for example, Africa, across the inner city communities in the United States, there is no economic root. There is no economic foundation. Like, for example, we might as well say that the major economy is a food stamp economy. You talk about Baltimore, Detroit, Ferguson, you say Indiana, Washington, Chicago, where the cities are the majority in population. You find that dope was and may still be the predominant economy in these inner cities. And the history has shown us, the consequence has shown us that dope has ravaged and destroyed lots of African communities. I mean, here in Harlem, it was the same. You had the empty buildings, burnt up buildings, and it was a mess. Until the city ended up selling some of these buildings for $1. So if you come up here, you may never think that some sort of a thing or any sort of such thing or the ravages never occurred. And what tragic consequences that the black communities per capita, the largest prison population in the United States, yet they are the minority population. As you say, that sometimes you go to other places in the cities where 90% of the black males are unemployed. And the tragic fact is that the United States of America is the best mother of technology. I mean, you talk about internet. The birth of internet was here through the U.S. military, I think. And the internet revolution rules the world today. But guess what? This internet technology and majority technologies invented by the U.S. government was partly using money from black communities, taxes from the black communities. And we see the very same technology being used to exploit and do and engage, raid resources, and occupy Africa. And the black communities are not the ones doing this. And you are talking about the technology divide, which is increasing against African communities. Of course, it is due to racism, but racism is alive and kicking. One way or another, they have a way of interfering. And it is a major obstacle in Africa. But some of these things as a community, like we are saying that the United States is the birth mother of industrial mechanization revolution that has exported jobs and technology overseas. And other folks have actually come here and stole it. They've sent teams to get the technology. You talk about Asia, talk about China, talk about Indonesia. I mean, these are rising up industrial giants today that now are expanding into Africa. And much of Africa, like recently we were talking about, showing how African migrants are drowning in the Mediterranean, so going to Europe to look for jobs. So there has to be a reconsideration and reformulation of our strategy, people of African descent, especially being stationed here in the United States. As I've pointed out to other people, that we've got children, now we've got grandchildren, and seemingly there's stagnation in terms of anchoring a solid root and acquisition of the technology. Of course, there are opportunities there in jail, but majority is completely closed. And access is determined by money sometimes. Also, access to good education is determined by money. But in Africa, we've reached a stage where we have to surmount excuses. We have to bulldoze against doors that are closed. Because to some extent, the African community here has a sovereign right to the technology and also the inventions that are now ruling the world. And like, for example, in Africa, we can insist on Pan-African economic solidarity. What other people do is they simply close the door. If they don't approve of you, you don't come in. If you're not part of their community, you don't come in. But they don't show it because it's dance and the sign meeting. Now, it's high time that people of African descent must seek not to undermine all, because that's what's happening most of the time. Jealousy, envy, traps in the barrel. This attitude of standing or undermining my Africa. No. We have to come up with universal principles that enforce enhancing one another, us promoting one another, us supporting one another. So as you're saying that, my Africa, like for example, no U.S. technology to Africa should be allowed unless it involves black participation or it is introduced by a black person. That should be a policy in Africa as well. If you bring technology, they say, okay, you bring technology. Who are the people, you know, African people of descent? Are they participating in this? Especially if these are technologies that were invented by government through public tax, through public monies and taxes from the black communities. So, Africa, we have a situation as we speak in South Africa where the governing party, 21 years after independence, still complains about white monopoly capital hold on the country's economy. The government is complaining about, and the government and its allies, Tripartite Alliance, SACP, COSATU, SANCO, and the ANC, complain about the gap between the rich and poor. Yet some of their members, they are the majority few, millionaires and billionaires. You can count with a handful. They are the new bourgeois class, ruling class. And Africa, who is fooling whom? Now, recently at their congresses, I heard them complaining about the 1996 class project. They have a tendency of just throwing these terms, speaking from both sides of their mouths. The fact is, Africa, the monopolists, the apartheid monopoly companies in the country and international alliances never surrendered their hold on the country and never surrendered their bloody apartheid. And on the other side, we have this few of our brethren that have accepted the crumbs from the loot, from the apartheid loot. Now, they have talked about the broad-based black empowerment, economic empowerment. It has failed, Africa, because it has got, they gave a few to workers and other groupings. The fact is that they failed to expropriate, to redistribute the apartheid economy. And as we are saying, that our interest is you, Africa, first. There's been a complete failure on the part of the ruling party. Now, they talk about implementing the second democratic revolution. The question is, where and what is the first national democratic revolution? Because the only revolution we see is they and their cronies filling their pocket with state money and monopolizing and exploiting the state resources. And you can imagine the shock of it, Africa, that today, if you look at YouTube, the crimes in the country, you see young black men and teenagers, young teenagers, marauding in groups of about 10, 15, sometimes 20. They go and raid shopping malls, raid restaurants and stores, robbing patrons, daylight. I mean, taking wallets, phones, iPads. How much money are they going to do with that? And they don't even put face masks. Or maybe they might not even afford face. They're so poor they cannot even afford face masks. They cannot afford it. They don't put on face masks and lights on. They just go in AK-47 machine guns and handguns in hand for everybody to see. And don't even bother to remove the security cameras. So the whole thing is so primitive. It's a complete collapse, the sign of collapse of governance and public order. And this may be a sign of another revolution, because these guys are talking about national democratic revolution when in fact they filled up their pockets. It may reach a point where some of the loot that they have benefited from unduly, because that loot was supposed to go to the masses. So the masses are suffering. And the very same people come to us and complain about the gap between the rich and the poor. I mean, unemployment, almost 38%. 8 million men and women fit to work are unemployed, can't find jobs. And we could estimate that it may be more than 38%. I mean, it might be up to 50%. That is not completely out of range. South Africa, we have expressed a concern that, yes, we are concerned about all of Africa because we protect the individual of Africa. And we don't want to be divided, the country divided into groups under this proportional political system because it's causing division. And people that have had nothing to do with the liberation struggle are exploiting that. Yes, everybody's got rights, but it just keeps individuals and it just keeps based on majority. And we are saying that my Africa, our concern is all my Africa, workers and the non-workers, the employed and the unemployed. Trust that we are Africa first before, I mean, you are Africa first and workers second. You have Africa first, a union second. To the point where Africa, I mean, we've all served, we've all suffered, we've all sacrificed for the liberation. Of course, those who participated in the liberation itself. But you're saying, Africa, our destiny, our policy and aims and objectives was the expropriation and redistribution and socialization of the land and the economy. It does not happen. With these years that have gone, the only salvage, save grace that we can do is to fight hard and you, Africa, got to stand up. The appeal is you got to vote as more Africa and vote for your own security. Let's separate the state from the party or the party from the state. Let the people be the governors. Give the rule to the people. And it's up to you, my Africa, to listen because sometimes our people do not listen. You talk to them, they will do the same thing over and over and over again. Now it's 21 years past, you've got nothing to show for. And there is more suffering among the majority. And as you say, my Africa, the ruling class co-opted themselves to join in the apartheid monopolies. And the workers, you can't believe, the workers have to push the workers' interests. But it is not the interest of the unemployed. And sometimes even the workers have gotten stake into companies. Like, for example, companies are supposed to do broad-based empowerment, so they include the workers. Which is fine. The question is, what about the unemployed? What about the unemployed youth that are marauding with AK-47s, robbing people, killing people, stealing cars, breaking into houses? What about those? Because that is the most vulnerable sector of the community. And we are saying that because our concern is investing in human capital. Why can't we invest in the youth? For example, yes, you may provide training, companies may volunteer to train them for jobs and whatnot, but you've got to give them a stipend, give them something. The other option may be that rather than giving these economic empowerment to these, it has to stop. The elite, those who are affiliated with the ruling class, and especially giving shares to workers. I think a trust has to be established for the unemployed, former victims of apartheid and colonial occupation, so that this wealth or economy is redistributed. To a point where North Africa, word for word, so the song. Let the people eat. Don't eat by yourself. South Africa, the crisis that they're faced with is that the youth may be doomed. So the appeal is, South Africa, especially to the communities in the United States, especially in the center of technology, because now we are no longer talking about industrial economy. We are talking about space economy. And the whole thing gets advanced. Now you look at the coming in of the internet. and the coming in of technology and communication. Much of it was initiated by government, by the U.S. government. The invention was initiated by or through support of the U.S. government. And much of it now is occupying Africa. And the Africans, the poor people, are paying dearly for the technology that is much based here. And that was saying that the communities of African descent can claim their sovereign right to this technology, or at the minimum, demand that if the technology is introduced in Africa, it has to have black participation, at the minimum, or it has to be introduced by people of African descent. But also keep an eye on exploitation, because we have a situation, the situation where the fact is that much of the mining companies which flow their stocks at Wall Street itself, it's a public company. The New York Stock Exchange is a public company. It is not a privately owned company. So, to a greater extent, the people of African descent have the right of participation. And I think there has to be a reformulation of thinking, because what comes first is us as family. It's our children and grandchildren. It's our communities. And as we speak now, communities like Harlem are being invaded by capital and money acquired from publicly funded institutions such as the Stock Exchange, the New York Stock Exchange. So the fact also is that we might have socialist tendencies after liberation, where we didn't want to deal with anything with so-called capitalist institutions. But North African communities live here, and that's how other communities live. So, and also people from outside have, and communities from outside the United States, come in as, in the form of, you might even say mafia, just to take over the technology. As we pointed out, that we have economic giants, industrial giants in Asia that got most of that technology, if not 100% of that technology from the United States. And we have inner communities here in the United States, black communities, that are living next to the technology. I mean, where I'm speaking now, it's like less than 20 minutes to Wall Street. But we don't see the impact. And the key here is that because some of these institutions are here, there has to be a reformulation. There has to be a rethinking as to vis-a-vis feeding our children and communities. Like you're saying, that we have black communities that are predominantly dope communities and food stamp economies. So, my Africa, the land is ours. Fatsi La Rona is related to Tikorahina, Sangulashi. And we repeat, my Africa, there has to be a reformulation, especially us as a family collectively. Because it looks like we are disjointed. And you talk about having to have economic solidarity. We have to have global Pan-African economic solidarity, self-reliance, and independence. Thank you, my Africa, for the privilege of talking to you, and thank you for listening. Thank you.